Sunday. And if you missed it, you really missed it. And the presence of God was here moving and touching hearts and reaching for lives. And I feel that God made some great, great differences in many lives. And I was one of them, and I hope you were as well. Praise the Lord. I do give credit and honor to the Harvest Kids Department for their silent auction. And Sister Audra helped coordinate that, so we give honor to them. And I believe they raised at least around $750. And that's for junior camp, so thank the Lord. And, you know, I just enjoy that. It's kind of neat seeing kids trying to hide the bid so people can't outbid them. And then, you know, and we didn't see any fights out there this time, though. So, no. But that's a great blessing, so helping our kids go to junior camp, and we're thankful for that. If you missed out on that and want to make a donation, that'd be fine as well. But I know that many people's blood sugar was a little higher on Sunday night. So praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Verse 25, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And if you turn over just a couple of chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and just one verse, verse 10, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." Tonight we continue our lessons on the great paradoxes of the Bible. And tonight we're going to look at the subject, wise fools for Christ. Wise fools for Christ. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody hello. Shake somebody's hand before you're seated. Amen. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're looking forward to next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night, we'll be starting our Next Steps class, and we're going to be looking at discipleship, the Next Steps level of discipleship. We're going to be doing that for the whole church, and especially for some of these that just graduated through First Steps, but we're going to be taking the whole church through this on Wednesday nights. I want the church to understand and see the full plan of discipleship that we have here at Harvest, and we're taking the lessons that we've had, and we're organizing these into three levels. We have first steps, next steps, and there'll be deeper steps. And much of this is material that we've always taught. Some of it'll be from my point of view versus from, you know, Bishop's point of view of stories and illustrations and all that kind of stuff. But much of it is the same material based on the same books and Bible studies and all of that. And so I think it's going to be very exciting. And we'll be starting that next Wednesday night. You don't want to miss that, okay? That's for everybody. It's good for us to have basic teaching of doctrine and to get that those foundational principles correct. And sometimes we need a little review of that. Amen? So don't miss next week. Praise the Lord. Wise fools for Christ. I've enjoyed looking at these powerful truths from the Word of God over the last several weeks, and these are impacting statements from the Word of God. They're great paradoxes of the Bible, revealing God's kingdom versus the kingdom of this world. We read in the very first lesson how 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Okay, that should not be a surprise to us. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We need today not the truths of man's wisdom, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches. How many of you want to know the mind of Christ? You want to have the mind of Christ. Amen. In that first lesson, I spoke of Gilbert Keith Chesterton, who was an English writer who lived from 1874 to 1936. Time magazine said this about his writing style: "Whenever possible, Chesterton made his points with popular sayings, proverbs, and allegories, first carefully turning them inside out. Chesterton wants to find a paradox as a truth standing on its head to gain attention. In what seems to be a contradiction, truth can be illuminated." Let us look today at these Bible paradoxes, truth standing on its head to gain attention. And I pray that truth has been eliminated or illuminated through these great paradoxes. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The joyful fear of the Lord, strength through weakness, the way up is down. Losing our life to save it, and losing what we never had. And now tonight, as we look at being wise fools for Jesus Christ, we are now living in what is called the information age. Information. We can find out information about any person, place, or thing, or event, or happening, or news around the world with just a few keystrokes. Or maybe a short talk with Siri or Alexa or these other artificial intelligence devices. But here's the disturbing thing today. We're so full of information, so full of facts and theories, but we are starved for wisdom. We read the prophecy of this day in Daniel chapter 1, verse 24. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Well, there's definitely many running to and fro today in this world, and knowledge is definitely increased. Technology is multiplying at a faster rate than ever before. But yet our world is starved for wisdom. William Cowper, a Christian poet, he wrote that knowledge is proud that he has learned so much, while wisdom is humble that he knows no more. Knowledge is proud that he learned so much, but wisdom is humble that he knows no more. Eric Hoffer, an American social philosopher who was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1983, he wrote, "The hardest thing to cope with is not selfish or vanity or deceitfulness, but sheer stupidity." Well, T.S. Eliot, who was actually born in St. Louis, wrote in his poem, Courses from the Rock. He said, where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? Where's the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? And where is the knowledge we have lost in information? In a world where so many so-called brilliant people say and do so many stupid things, we've definitely experienced this. There's a lack of wisdom, a lack of wisdom. If we look at the church in Corinth, there were some serious issues there because some of their church members were boasting of their own knowledge, but really they were unaware of their ignorance. They were trying to mix the wisdom of this world with the wisdom of God, and that formula is wrong every single time. Oh, they were so proud of what they thought they knew, but they were so lacking when it came to knowing God's wisdom. And people today, they often make the same mistakes that the Corinthians made. Instead of opening our Bibles, and instead of calling for a prayer meeting, and instead of seeking God's wisdom, they just brush right past the leading of God's Spirit, and instead they look to see how the world is getting things done. Instead of waiting for God to show them and define what they need to do according to the Word of God, instead they listen to the world and they listen to their flesh, and they're really ignorant of the difference between wisdom and knowledge. God forbid that we focus more on a committee of humanity and flesh to decide our future than on godly wisdom. We need godly wisdom. We need godly direction. We need for the Word of God to illuminate our lives, to truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. 16 times in his letters to the Corinthians, Paul used the word wisdom. And 6 times he used the word foolishness. I pray that we can take this paradox of foolish wisdom and put it to work and become wise fools for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Alfred North Whitehead, he was a philosopher and mathematician. He was brilliant, brilliant by every worldly standard. Yet he rejected the message of Jesus Christ. He once said that he'd given up on the Bible and that, I quote, there was no longer much of anything in it for him. He preferred rather reading Plato. He said, I consider Christian theology to be one of the great disasters of the human race. As for the Christian theology, can you imagine anything more appallingly idiotic than the Christian idea of heaven? So much knowledge, but yet so lacking in godly wisdom. Think with me about another brilliant man, one who rejected the message of Jesus Christ and one who denied the cross at first. Saul of Tarsus, he had such knowledge and such brilliance, and he had received the best education possible in that day, finishing up under the great philosopher Gamaliel. He had obviously studied Greek and philosophy and literature and perhaps even quoted from it when in Athens, but he was so full of information and knowledge of this world. But one day he was blinded so that he could actually see, and he heard the voice of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, we all need that kind of experience to bring us out of this world so that we know that this is the way and this is the truth and that this is the life. And Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, for as he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. I'm thankful to know that we can have that same power that Paul experienced. I'm thankful to know that we don't have to be in the darkness of this world, but there can be a light of truth that pierces that darkness. Oh, I want to tell you today, we need this truth. We need godly wisdom. God, help us to shun the wisdom of this world and to focus on the Word of God and the plan of God for our life. Because of Jesus Christ, Paul was a transformed man. He said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul could have gone toe-to-toe with the great minds of that day, but he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with him in weakness, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what we need today. We don't need just earthly wisdom, but God, help us. Help us to go beyond man's wisdom to a demonstration of the power of God, a demonstration of the Spirit of God. Come on, we need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost move around here. We don't need just man's wisdom and earthly wisdom, but I pray that God's power would move, and I pray that lives would be delivered. Oh, we can't do it ourselves, but we need God's wisdom. We need God's work to be done in us and through us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's been many achievements of science, and we're thankful for them. You know, I'm thankful for technology. I really am. I'm thankful for the modern comforts that have come through engineering and science. We're thankful for the developments of medicine. But we realize tonight that the success of science owes the credit to God. The Lord wants us to enjoy his blessings, but we should give him the glory. For after all, when it comes to matters of the heart, we're really limited as the human race. You know, we can take a pill to help us sleep, but we can't find peace of heart in any pharmacy. We can use the best of detergents to wash off stains and dirt, but we can't do anything ourselves to renew the mind or cleanse a sinful heart. Just look around the world today, and there's innocent people being killed, lives being destroyed, freedoms taken away, trouble and destruction in so many places. But there is no man-made solution to change the sinful human heart that's behind all of that turmoil. The only solution, the only answer is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John 1:7 tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the only hope for the human heart. That's the only hope for a human race. Oh, thank God for technology, but we've got to go beyond technology. We've got to go beyond science, and we've got to have godly wisdom. To the world, God's wisdom is foolishness. Just look at all the accounts of the Bible of the foolishness of man in rejecting the wisdom of God and depending on the wisdom of this world. Of course, it all begins with Eve. Eve disobeying the Lord and influencing her husband. Of course, Adam joined her in eating the forbidden fruit. Next, we see their son Cain, who chose his own path instead of God's path, and he killed his brother over something that really was his own fault. And on to the foolish builders of the Tower of Babel. In defying God, they built a tower and sought to make a name for themselves. But the whole thing fell apart because God would not put up with their rebellion, and he allowed confusion to destroy their endeavors. From the Tower of Babel, all the way throughout the history of man, we have failed time and time again when we set our own minds to do things that were not planned and directed by God. Oh, Proverbs 14 and 12 reminds us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Oh, this is the right way to do it. This is the right way to go. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus told us about a very successful farmer who ended up a fool because he forgot that one day his soul would be required of him. Jesus also told us about a man who built his house on the sand and he lost everything when he could have built on the rock and saved everything. Why would we want to lose everything that we have built? Why would we want to lose our families and lose the blessings of God and lose our own souls? Come on, it's foolish not to have Jesus Christ as the foundation of our life. It's foolish to build on sand. It's foolish to build on the things of this world. Come on, let's get back to building on Jesus Christ. Let's get back to building on that chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. There's going to be a storm that comes, and you won't want to be built on the sand in that time. Jesus called the five bridesmaids foolish because they failed to bring oil for their lamps while they waited for the bridegroom to come. Acts chapter 27 describes the destruction of a ship that was in a storm because the leaders were foolish and they refused to obey God's will. You see, Paul had warned the centurion. He warned the owner of the ship. He warned the helmsman that if they set sail, the ship would be wrecked in a storm. But the centurion believed the experts. He believed the experts rather than Paul. And the majority of the passengers voted to set sail. And the Bible speaks of when the south wind blew softly, they were sure it was safe, but they sailed right into a storm. I tell you, it doesn't matter what the majority around us thinks. If it doesn't line up with God's word, if it doesn't line up with God's wisdom, come on, if it doesn't line up with what God thinks about things, there's destruction ahead. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We see all of these called fools throughout the Bible. They rejected God's wisdom. They failed to submit to God's plan for their lives, and they ended up in destruction. And don't forget the biggest fool of them all. Psalms 14 and 1 declares, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." In seeking after what they thought was wisdom, in seeking after what they thought was so wise, and by rejecting what they thought was so foolish, they ended up fools themselves. Is there anybody here, you're just thankful that you know God? You're thankful for God's presence. You're thankful for His saving power. Come on, you're thankful that He's covered with you with His blood. You're thankful for His redeeming blood that has set you free from sin. Come on, are you thankful that you know His presence, that you know the touch of God in your life, that you don't have to rely on our own wisdom, but there's a better way, there's a better plan. Come on, there's a God in heaven that knows all things, and His will for us is better than anything this world could ever bring up. In everything we could dream up on our own. I've got to live by God's plan. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a difference between the knowledge of this world and the wisdom of God. The fact is, God gave us the ability to develop human knowledge. God created a marvelous universe. He created a marvelous universe. You know, from time to time, there'll be news reports that speak of different things. I saw one somewhere today. I forget exactly where it was, but it said something. I read, what are we going to do when our sun dies out? And I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter. You can't change anything, but we trust in God. If the sun dies out, it'll be at a time that God's ready to do something else. He created this universe, and He's in control of it all. He holds us in the palm of his hand. He specifically designed a fascinating human body. He built into creation laws and principles that we build our entire scientific studies on those laws. We were created in the image of God, and he gave us brains to think so that we could have dominion over creation. I'm thankful that he gave us this to enjoy what God's given us and using the gifts and the blessings of God to create and develop and develop knowledge. But wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Making the most of God's gift and doing it for his glory. It's so sad when these things are used unwisely. God's given us so much. God's blessed us with so much. Let's use it for his glory. Let's use it for his will. Hallelujah. People who only live by the wisdom of the world, they think Christians are fools for believing the Bible. They think we're so foolish for living by faith in the Word of God. But this world has forgotten the same God who wrote this Bible also wrote into the universe the very scientific principles that we live by. The laws of science are the laws of God. We're just now discovering them. If NASA and SpaceX and Boeing, if they ignored those laws of God, they wouldn't be successful. Because God's wisdom points the way to success. And so whether it be wisdom for space or for airplanes or wisdom for running a business or building a church or saving a marriage or raising children, God's wisdom holds the keys to success. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we got to just stop trying to build it on our own wisdom and our own foundation and say, God, I've got to let you build this thing. I've got to build it according to your plan. Psalms 127 and 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Hey, who are we fooling around here? We're not building this church. This is not our church. It's God's church. We're a part of this. We take ownership in it. This is where we're worshiping God, and this is the family of God that we're a part of. But we need to remember, we're not building this church. God's building this church. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Come on, God's in charge of this. God's in charge of this. Let's get in God's will, and let's find out God's plan, and let's use his wisdom and not depend on our own strength. Praise the Lord. Would you just lift your hands and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom, Lord. I need your plan for my life. Help us, Lord. Help us, God, to live according to your plan. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Paul was pretty bold in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. He goes on to say that they replaced the living God with dead idols that they had built themselves, and they worshiped the creature more than the creator. To think that man would create an idol, he would build an idol himself and build it out of wood or out of stone or some type of metal, and they'd build them to look like a man or build them to look like animals. And then after they built the idol themselves, they'd in turn worship their own creation. Like it has any power to save them, like it has any power to hear their prayers and any power to answer their prayers.
Sociologists try to tell us that religion began with the worship of many gods and many idols and finally worked its way up to faith in one true living God. But you see, the opposite is true, because mankind began with a clear understanding and knowledge of the one true God. And then along the way, they rejected him and they started worshiping idols that they had made themselves. But I want to tell you today, there is still one true God. And we need to reject the gods of this world. We need to reject the idols of mankind and live for this God and serve this God with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole strength, everything within us. Our world today is filled with dead idols that control people's lives. Money, property, movie stars, music artists, sports teams, status, power, pleasure, education. And that's just a few of the idols that people are serving today. Some have even made idols out of a religion, worshiping a religious system instead of an eternal God. Anything we trust and live for more than the true living God is an idol and needs to be put out of our lives. To God, this world's wisdom is foolishness. Worldly wisdom is based on pride. Worldly wisdom is based on pride. The world thinks that pride is the main ingredient for success. You got to be somebody important, and you got to let everybody know how important you are. And I want to tell you, social media is I believe it can be one of the most wicked ways of worship of self-idolatry and pride that there is. Because people create this image on social media that is based on pride. And it's this world's wisdom, but it's foolishness unto God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Pride is worldly wisdom. King Solomon said in Proverbs 11:2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." In other words, where there's pride, you just look, because shame and disgrace and dishonor is going to follow. But with those that are humble, there's wisdom. There's wisdom. Hallelujah. The truly great people in the Bible did not promote themselves, but they left it up to the Lord. We read in Joshua 3 and 7, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, but that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Joshua didn't have to push and shove his way to the front of the line. He didn't have to play king of the hill. God said, "This day will I magnify you in the sight of Israel." When it happens that way, God gets the glory, not us. God gets the glory. God gets the honor. God gets the praise. I tell you today, it's especially dangerous in the church when we try to imitate the world and we focus on promoting ourselves instead of magnifying God. When we operate through pride, we're setting ourselves up for destruction. And God forbid that we operate through pride and never ask God for wisdom. If the only time we ever pray and ask God for wisdom and help is when we're asking him to just, "Lord, bless all of my dreams and all of my plans and all the things that I've come up with on my own," there's a problem in that. David imitated the Philistines, worldly wisdom, and he had the ark of the Lord carried on a cart instead of the shoulders of the priest. and it was a failure. And a well-meaning man ended up losing his life. If we get prideful, if we get in a hurry and push past God, if we get our guidance from the flesh, from the world, and not from God, then we're headed for destruction. Praise the Lord. I'm not against education. I'm not against education. I've got a degree, and I want to continue a master's program when I'm able. And we need as much of this world's knowledge that we can get. But we need the wisdom of the Lord to help us process that knowledge and to use it in God's will. Amen. I want our young people to be the best students there are. I want them to go to college or trade schools and learn things. But more than that, they've got to get in the Word of God. They've got to develop a lifestyle of prayer, and they've got to learn what it means to be faithful unto the Lord and to trust Him when we don't know what to do. And instead of just blazing our own trail through our own wisdom, God, help us to trust You. Praise the Lord. An interesting thought. Robert Murray McShane, he was a minister in the Church of Scotland from 1835 to 1843, and he was very well educated, but he wrote to a friend. He said, "Beware of the atmosphere of the classics." True, he said, "we ought to know them, but only as chemists handle poisons. To discover their qualities, not to infect their own blood with them." In other words, we need to know knowledge. We need to study. We need to be good students. We need to go to school and go to college and all those things. We need to be aware of this world that we're living in, but not to infect our blood with them. I've got a mixed opinion about Christian schools. On the one hand, I'd love for my kids to go to a Christian school and not have to face the temptations and the things of the world. And I want to tell you in our school systems, our kids are battling some things. But on the other hand, I don't want to protect them so much from the things of the world that they don't have the ability to interact with people and know, hey, this is what people are going through and this is what people are dealing with. And so where's the balance in this? I tell you, we've got to find a way that we are so grounded in truth. We are so grounded in godly wisdom. We are so grounded in the will of God for our lives that when we walk through the streets and when we go through life and we work a job and when we do all these things that are in the world, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And so we know how to stand for truth and we know how to stand for righteousness and we know how to live a life that is an example to others. I tell you, today, we've got to reach this world. So we have to know where they're coming from. We've got to know some things about their life. But I'm not going to join them there. I'm calling them out of that. I'm saying, come on, there's a better way. There's a better way to live. The Lord's delivered us. I want you to join us. This is a path of victory. This is a path of healing and hope. Praise the Lord. Now, we may have a Christian school here one day. That's not in my notes, folks. Someone once said, "Learn all you can, put it under the blood, and use it to the glory of the Lord." Daniel and the three Hebrew boys with him, they learned the wisdom of the Babylonians. But they succeeded in keeping a godly witness in a pagan land where they were all by themselves because they trusted the Lord for wisdom every day. Daniel goes on to serve at least three of the greatest kings that the world has ever known. Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus. How was he such a valuable asset to those kings? Why was he such a trusted advisor? The reason why Daniel stood apart from all of the other wise men in the land, it wasn't earthly knowledge and wisdom. It was the wisdom that God gave him.
Daniel knew the source of his strength. Daniel knew the source of his wisdom. He knew the source of his power. And when they passed that law against him, said, you can't pray to anybody else except for the king, he wasn't worried because he knew he wasn't bound by earthly laws, but he was bound by a heavenly law. Praise the Lord. And he opened that window and he prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times a day without shame and without embarrassment because he knew who was in charge of his life. I tell you today, there ought to be a boldness within us. I know we live in this world. We've got to live according to laws and all of that, but we know that we live according to a heavenly law, and Jesus Christ is in control of our lives. Come on, somebody today, don't get caught up with the wisdom of this world, but get caught up in Jesus. Get caught up in his word. Get caught up in his plan for your life. To us as Christians, God's foolishness is true wisdom. People who are lost, they think this message of the gospel is foolishness. They think that those of us who live by the Bible are fools. Ironically, most of them have never even read the Bible. They've never even really given serious thought about who Jesus is. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We don't need the spirit of the world. We don't need to bring the spirit of the world in the church, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's foolishness to those that don't have the Spirit of God. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. But to those that are spiritual, to those that have the mind of Christ, to those that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, this so-called foolishness is great wisdom. We've got to live as wise fools for Jesus Christ. We're wise because we trust Jesus. We're wise because we accept his word. We're wise because we receive the message of the cross. To the world, that all seems like foolishness. To unbelievers, we seem like fools. But we can take comfort in basing our lives off the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of man. Call me a fool. It's okay if it's for Christ's sake. Amen. We proudly wear the badge of a wise fool for Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:10, we are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Wise fools for Jesus Christ. It's a paradox, but oh, there's truth in it. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? Pharaoh and the Egyptian army, they must have laughed when the Israelites came to the Red Sea.
But then God opened up the sea. The children of Israel went across on dry land. Foolishly, the Egyptians followed, and God drowned their entire army. The people of Jericho must have laughed so hard at these Israelites marching around their great walled city. But it was Joshua and his people who had the last laugh as the great walls of Jericho collapsed and the city was captured. How important it is for God's people to be wise fools who are willing to be called a fool for Christ's sake so that he receives the glory. And that's the ultimate purpose is. He's not wanting man to receive the glory. So he takes those things which everybody thinks is foolish and he confounds the wise. He takes those things that the world doesn't understand, like the preaching of the cross. It seems like foolishness. Why would we preach? Why would we get up? And why would we get so excited and so bold and do all of this stuff? I don't know. It was the foolishness of preaching, though, that saved me. And it was the foolishness of preaching that saved you. It's the foolishness of God that has confounded the things of the world. And so I believe that this lesson sums up all of these great paradoxes of the Bible, because each paradox points out a difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. These paradoxes, they seem to be a contradiction. They stand against everything that we've learned from the world. They contradict human understanding. But when we look a little further and when we examine God's word, we find truth, and truth that sets us free, and truth that reveals blessings, and truth that brings the will of God in our life. Praise the Lord. I wonder, in closing tonight, I wonder if we could just come to this altar and declare, I'm going to live according to the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of man. I'm going to trust God's word and not man's word. Come on, is there anybody here? You're tired of falling short through man's wisdom, and you're tired of making a mess of things yourself, and you'd be willing to come to this altar right now and declare, God, I'm done doing it my way. I'm done doing it man's way. I need your way. I need your wisdom. I need your plan. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amandoto rabo shakaraba sakata bahaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I don't care if they call me a fool. I don't care if they mock me. I don't care if they don't understand why I choose to live for God. My relationship with God is more important than what this world thinks of me. I've got to have God's plan. I've got to have God's will. I've got to have God's wisdom.